Ringer Dish is the place for all things celebrity, from major celebrity moments like the Met Gala and the Oscars, to the weird habits of the stars you love, to refreshers on the biggest tabloid stories from the last 20 years. Ringer Dish has all the vital details. On Tuesdays, catch Jam Session with Juliette Littman and Amanda Dobbins for royal family rumors, celebrity real estate, and industry analysis. And on Fridays, listen to Tea Time with me, Kate, and Amelia for lightning-fast coverage on pressing celebrity news and gossip. Check out Ringer Dish on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Dead of night, tired as I've ever been. You smile at me, and suddenly it's worth it. Crazy how I don't know your middle name.
I'm gonna ask you that for this.
Crazy how make me wanna love again. I was wondering, after this is over, would you wanna take a walk outside? I don't wanna say goodnight.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. Best episode of the season, I think. Excited to talk about it. I am joined by my fellow recapper, Jared Breed. Welcome, Jared.
Great to be here. Love hanging with you, Juliette. It's a pleasure.
Are you stoned?
No, I'm chilling. It's Friday. I worked out today. I'm a little hungover.
Nice.
I mean, do we let people know that we got it ahead of time? Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you just said it's Friday. It's all good.
I know. I didn't mean. I realized that way after. That's how chill I am. I'm just letting
you
them
are
know
really
stuff.
You are so chill. I'm not used to it. I'm like, where's this the energy? We'll get it up. We'll get there.
I mean, I think I want to hear what your take is. I mean, you said that today, this was one of the best episodes. I agree. Great episode. But I think it's been a good season. Like, I think it's like I feel like we've been back to the old, like.
I got a question for you before you even go further. Are you attracted to Katie?
Listen, me saying I'm not like jonesing for her. Like, I think she's cute. Like, it's like she's. You know, she's a beautiful woman, but I'm not like sitting here like every week, like, you know, starry eyed.
Not like JoJo or something. Did you watch JoJo season?
JoJo is my favorite. That's the one I get a little starry eyed over.
Yeah, of course. Like,
that's the one
she's a babe. She's very attractive.
Totally. I mean, they're all attractive. Because I say I like chocolate doesn't mean fuck vanilla. So keep that in mind.
I ask because I do think that. For a lot of this show, the way that men and women watch it is really different, obviously, for many reasons. But part of it also is like, are you attracted to these people? And like, I think that like, if you don't think it's like a great season or whatever, you can kind of like get involved with like, you think Matt's hot or like you think Katie's hot or like whatever.
Sure. I'll reveal my bias. I've met her. She came to my show.
Oh, so there we go. I knew there was something. I sniffed it out.
She came to my show in Tacoma. I was in Tacoma, Washington. She reached out to me, like, saw you're in town. I was like, I'll get her tickets. She came. Very nice. I would say she's that friend chick. Like, the way she was on Matt James' season where her and Tyler and Matt had this, like, fun date that didn't feel sexualized at all. Like, that's kind of, and that's not to say she's not a sexual person. I'm just saying, like, she just was cool to hang around. And you kind of see that in this episode. You can see how like geeked out they are to like hang with her.
Yeah, she seems fine. But I'm glad you brought that up because I felt like this was the first time where I was like, really felt like there was some real sexual chemistry. I thought her and Andrew S., their, I think, hot tub makeout. I was like, okay, I see it. I can see why they're into each other. And she said like she has the most sexual chemistry with him. And I was like, yes, I can see that.
You can feel it from that and just the way they were with that like pinata heart thing that they were doing. But I definitely...
A lot of weird games this week.
Weird games. Like, I mean, we'll get into it. But I just like her. Like, her vibe is very direct. I like that she's, like, in control of this season. We have that good... It feels like the cocktail mix has been better this season as far as, like, drama and fun and romance.
Yeah. You know, and I think that this episode in particular, like, typified that. Because in this episode, mm-hmm. we had Katie talking about sexual assault, which obviously I want to come back to. We had Andrew asking her about what it would like if they had biracial kids. We had Michael A. talking about being a widower and having his wife who passed away, her birthday had been the day before.
Yep.
But then at the same time, we had like the weird game that Justin did with her. We had Andrew's like fun, cute date. We had Blake coming back
in his time.
And the ridiculous slam ball date where everyone seemed like they had stuffed their shorts. So
yeah. Yeah. And also Hunter taking a heel turn.
Picking up the throne just where yeah. Carl and Thomas left off. So yeah, I think to your point, like there was some really intense stuff. And I think we'll talk about how well they did or didn't handle it. I think it was handled much better than in previous seasons. And yet it was still kind of fun. So like, that's why I thought it was a good episode. But yeah, but I think like I just have found it sort of up to this point like too much manufactured drama. Like I was just like, what? I was like, why does everyone hate Thomas? Why is Carl being like this? Like, but this week I thought it was really good. It felt like this was like a real sort of like this is what we come to The Bachelor for.
We've like shed the skin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it feels like the snake has shed its skin and now we're down to like the true players of this season.
Sure.
Like we have like this is like the real cast now. Like there's nobody even when. At the end of the episode, when they got rid of a few guys, like those guys, I wasn't like upset to see go. Like the only guy I've been
I knew
really
all their names, which was the first time. I was like, Josh, fair. Courtney, Andrew M, farewell. Yeah. They actually showed them leaving.
Yes. And they like the only guy I've really been upset to see leave was Boston Christian for his fake Boston accent that he was pushing too hard. That was like really that was the guy that kind of looked like Judge Reinhold.
I just don't know who that is. I just don't know, Jared. There's so many guys this season. I'm just like, who the fuck is that?
I just noticed his Boston accent. Like every time he came on, is like he was like, "This is a wicked pissa," and you're like, "Okay, dude, put it away." Like we get it.
You went out in
Southie, yeah. but it was you know, I love this episode. I like when it's a good mix, and I thought last week was a pretty good mix too. But I do agree with what you're saying as far as like. The Thomas and Carl thing, it was like, we've done 5 extra minutes on this that we didn't need.
Last week, I had a hard time. I was just like, nothing happened in this episode that was interesting. Like, literally nothing. The only thing that was interesting last week was like, did they actually go to Taco Bell to get that food? Which I talked about on 2 episodes, and here I am bringing it up on a third. So, I was just
back
like,
to
this
the
is
well.
Rough. Back to the well. What do you have for me, Katie? Not a lot.
Well, the thing that, I told you, I'm biased for Katie. Like, she was really nice and fun.
Did she come alone, by the way? Did she bring a plus
one?
So
she brought 2 friends. And
a
they
plus
were like,
two. Wow.
Plus 2. They were like radio personalities in the area. Very nice. And she's like a fan of comedy. Like she, that's the one thing I
Did
learned.
Did she
is
ask
like,
you if you're watching Hacks?
She's very interested in the storyline of Hacks and whether it's real, true to life.
Just,
yeah.
Everyone is like, oh, are you watching Hacks? And I'm like, no. And I'm not going to because everyone's fucking talking about, are you watching Hacks?
I know. And they've done it. I've heard, I haven't watched it, but I know this is the one that feels the most, like of the stand-up comedy shows that have been done recently, like of all the, those
I call it
attempts.
Comedian, people have said, comedian content for comedians. That's what Hacks is.
It does feel like, but I've heard this is the one that's most, relatable, you know, like to anyone else. Like it's actually a good show. So,
well, Jean Smart, she's a goat. Anyway, She's amazing. I love Mayor of Easttown, and she was amazing on that. And I'm good for now. Maybe I'll watch Hacks when everyone's not asking, are you watching Hacks? Sorry. My diatribe about Hacks.
Listen, I respect more than a hate non-watch. And I do that all the time. Like, if someone's like pushing it, I'm like, now I'm not watching the show because you've pushed it too hard.
Yeah, like, I'm good. Back off, okay? I'll make my own television choices.
It feels like they're doing it to let you know something about them at a certain point. Like, they have to let you know they're on the inside. Like, nobody really does that for these shows that we love. Like, you know, nobody does that when they're like, you gotta watch The Bachelorette. Like, no one does it because we're afraid of being considered idiots. So,
right.
Like,
when so the opposite like, should I must watch? Be true. Yeah. I'm like, no. The answer is no.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, and I've got plenty of other stuff I can talk about, so you don't need to watch. Like, but she's like, it's good. In fact, I don't want to talk about it. Like, you and I are talking about it. We're good.
Yeah, I do hours of talking about it, like, professionally for some unknown reason. But it does, like, if that's true, or where you don't even want to let people know we watch this show, the opposite must be true, that they need us to know they watch this show to let them... us know something about them. So it's like, okay, we get it. You know, it's like when someone says I'm getting a lot of this now. I don't know if you're getting this, where these random people comment on your posts or Instagram with, how could anybody even be watching this show of The Bachelorette?
I get more pointed attacks. Like, why are you so mean? Or like, why do you hate women? Or why are you telling everyone the women in the house hate Katie? And I'm just like, okay, thanks.
The one thing I kind of learned from, like, it all feels like veiled, like, political stuff that they're trying to push. Like these people that, like, are mad that, like, Chris Harrison isn't here, that, like, they're like, oh, it's a horrible season. You're like, no, I see what you're doing. You found a side door into your fucking stupid political position that doesn't even matter. You know?
Yeah, so seriously.
It's getting bizarre.
So anyway, Katie, she likes, I took us down a really bad tangent. She loves comedy. You're a comedian. She
loves
came to your
comedy.
Show.
Came, fun, awesome, hung out after, like, came, you know, with her friends in the green room. We had drinks, like,
just what was her vibe? Just an like, she seemed engaged.
Engaged, easy,
no,
breezy.
Did she seem engaged? Like, is she affianced, betrothed?
No, that I meant engaged, like, mentally. Yes. She was engaged in the conversation. No, I didn't ask. I didn't get into it.
Of course you didn't ask because she couldn't tell you, but did she seem engaged? Like, what? Like, what's the Jared tea leaf reading?
She didn't seem engaged to me. I would say, but also if it never comes up, I don't know how someone would seem engaged. You know what I mean?
Well, did she like ask about any other guys in the room? Did she like, I don't know.
The conversation was very friendly and not like that. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, we were just hanging.
I'm really grasping here. I'm like,
yeah,
telling
I know.
Everything.
I'm sorry. I wish I had more. I really just enjoyed her general vibe, and like, it was true to what we saw on TV. And you know, like, when someone like she, you know, I had heard she had dated stand up comics in the area before, so like, that was like, I was like, oh, so she like knows this scene a little bit. It also made me like realize why she was like, when she first came on the show, she was like, I don't want a guy who sits on his couch playing video games all day. It's like, oh, she dated a comic. There's no question.
As you're talking, I was just thinking, like, Katie should move to Los Angeles and live in Hollywood then. If that's her type, then it's just like, go there.
She can find one.
So many guys waiting for her if she didn't find him already. Let's get into talking about Katie and Blake. Let's start there.
Sure.
First of all, can't go any further without saying, amazing job by Katie talking. I mean, amazing job is not even the right way to say it, but I was really moved by how she talked about her story of sexual assault. And I think that, you know, earlier in the season, I had been like, is it weird that she talks about sex so much, when now we know that she had this really traumatic incident? But she fully explained it. She really, I feel like I understand her in a different way. And I think it's just really, really powerful to hear women speak. I thought it was awesome that she specifically referenced the Me Too movement as sort of like a galvanizing force, because I personally feel like the Me Too movement sometimes is either forgotten or used in like negative ways, or sort of like used as like some kind of like cudgel. So I thought it was really cool to see Katie like reaffirm the power of so many women speaking out at the same time. And I just thought that was like really, really awesome. So I hope that she's getting the love that she deserves tonight. I hope she's feeling supported. And like, I just thought that was really cool.
She's great. She's great. She does. She, and she knows how to, she's so articulate with it and relatable.
Yeah.
You know, like I think some, you know, it that's the, and the way she's, you know, sex positive now, it's like, what a cool thing to, for someone to see, like someone working it out their own way. You know, everyone has their own way, but it was a nice moment. And again, I agree with like the first time you're like, okay, you know, this is a very serious moment. And then like, now it becomes more a part of her and who we see.
And she really set the tone because she was like, okay, on a different note, and then like transitioned into like something else. Like she was like, she wouldn't let her own story only be defined by this traumatic incident. And
totally. And
I think that speaks to like that a dynamic woman that she obviously is. And I also just want to say, like, by the same token, I think like there's so many ways that Blake could have responded. And I thought the way that he responded was just really cool and really supportive. And I'm sort of like, about Blake, but now I'm like, well, I'm in on Blake. That was really cool.
So my question to you is, what did you think Blake was trying? What conversation do you think he was trying to have? Because do you think he knew that was coming, or was that like, because the word on Blake before this was that he was in the house and he only talked about sex.
Right.
So everyone kind of knew that about him. It's like, do you think he's trying to have like a conversation about open sex, or is he and this was like a right turn that he never saw coming? I was thinking that because knowing his backstory as being that guy who goes on the yoga date and, you know, is in the tight shorts and everyone's like, oh, this guy's
he does like the weird clay thing.
The
art thing was. Yeah. It's a good question. Like, he kind of asked her, I think he set it up sort of by being like, how did you come to being this sex positive person?
Exactly.
It's a good question. He totally could have been teed up for it by producers. If so, that's fucked up.
Sure.
If so, like, that's a rough manipulation of what they know about Katie, even if she handled it with such grace. And I think as like a real role model, but I hope that's not the case. I think Blake's just like a really weird guy. And I would say that I'm like a weird person who asks really weird questions, like not only on dates, but like in life. Like, I'm sure you've been like, wow, Juliet, that's weird, in the many times we've spoken. And so I think there are just some people out there, myself included, who ask questions out of left field. You just have to like roll with it if you're the other person. I apologize to anyone I've ever asked a really weird question of. But I think that Blake is strange, like in a good way. I love weirdos. So I'm like,
quirky
cool.
Type.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I don't know. What do you think he was trying to get from that?
I don't know. I was like, just having that, not like we have a backstory with Blake. So that's the interesting part about him coming on the show. And then you go, so why is he here? Like, why is he pursuing of Katie? When she came on in the beginning, all the guys in the house were like, you know, they questioned her. They're like, do you have a previous relationship? And she goes, well, he just said I was great on that season. And it's like, that's it, that's all that got Blake being like, I know I need to pursue this person. You know, there was a little bit of like, why,
like, must have been a FaceTime in there. I feel like, first of all, younger,
what I was wondering.
Yeah, like younger, there's no receipts on FaceTime, right? So just you delete it from your log and no one ever knows. I feel like also like people slightly younger than us like are really quick to FaceTime. Like they'll just FaceTime you at any point, whereas I'm like, I feel like I need permission. Like I'm sort of like, we need to like set aside a time.
Hey, I'll be calling in 15 minutes. Just let you know.
Yeah, or like, hey, are you free? Like, hey, are you a home? Like, I feel like, remember the first, I have a friend who was like very early to like the FaceTime scene. And I remember when he used to just like FaceTime me, like I'd be like at work and I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you can't just FaceTime.
Who died? I need to know why you need to look me in the eye right now to give me this
like,
information.
Do you think I'm like going to be secretly taping our call and that's why you need to FaceTime? But anyway, I feel like Blake and Katie must have FaceTimed. Also, Blake just seems like kind of forward. I was going to say, I don't think it's like aggressive, but like forward. Like he just sort of like goes for it.
The only reason I brought it up is because, like, you know that he's, like, the most... They literally said, like, all Blake talks about is sex. Yeah. Now you have the most sex-positive bachelorette. You're like, is he just here because he's like, oh... I mean, that's a long trip to go on to, like, for sex, but is he like, wow...
Also, there's no sex. It's like, you're on congrats, you're on the bachelorette. There's no sex here.
Or, yeah, exactly. Like, welcome to a house full of dudes. But it's like... Yeah. But at the same time, you go... Is Blake, you know, this simple-minded where he goes, she likes sex, I like sex, we got to go out on a date. Like, I don't know if that's his thought process. Also,
just because you talk about it a lot doesn't mean you have a lot of sex too. Like, we have no
that's
idea.
Fair. I don't know. Maybe that's what he was trying to get into. He's like, I talk about sex. Do you
so to have sex?
So what's sex positive to you? Like, it was interesting. It took a direction that, like, I didn't see coming, and I don't think, even though I had the prior information, then he didn't see. I was wondering how he was like, oh, okay, this is okay, good to know. You know, and he handled it great, you know, as you said.
Yeah, he did. I thought that was really great. And then their whole date was really something. I just want to read a quote from Blake.
Okay.
Or it's not really. Blake said that he's a wildlife advocate numerous times. And I had forgotten that. Like, I remember that was part of his profile from the previous season. But I thought it was really funny. They were like walking through New Mexico and there was no wildlife. Like, they were on horses. But that was not wildlife. Those were essentially animated props, like literally animated. So I thought that was really funny. But even before that, Katie asking Caitlin like for advice. And by the way, we had the continuity problems again with Katie wearing the outfit from now, like two or three episodes ago, talking to Caitlin about it.
So there seems to be a lot of continuity issues. And this episode, I'm like, is Blake in a different timeline than the rest of the house?
It's become the Marvel movie. It's multiple, right? It's like Lost. There's so many timelines. We have to go back.
I was legitimately like, you know, Blake gets introduced. They have that moment. And then you're like, okay, it doesn't seem like, was he even at the rose ceremony? Like, I was like, it felt like I was like, is Blake on this show or not? Or is they taping it side by
He's
side?
He's dead. It's a Sixth Sense.
Right? It does kind of feel like that, doesn't it?
Yes. It's really confusing. So I think the issue is that Blake arrived way earlier. Like, Blake arrived like within the first week. I heard it might have even been night one. Nick has been talking about how when Nick got there for his episode, which was like week two or three, Katie had already met Blake.
So what was the reason to like judge it up?
I think that we could see from these first three episodes, there just wasn't a lot of drama, man. And so I think they needed to save stuff, honestly.
So I guess, I mean, that credit to the editors. I mean, like having to like do that, I'm sure their job was like a living hell. Like, but like, it is noticeable. Like this episode, we're sitting here the whole time, like Blake gets introduced. There's that awkward moment. Then it's like, how do you know him? Why do you bring him in now? And then it's like, I guess, did they go back and tape that, you think?
I think that Blake, I think that things probably happened more along the lines like normally, but we just didn't see it in that order. And they like probably cut around him for a lot of stuff would be my guess.
Because then he gets the one-on-one date right away. It's like, which was kind of hilarious. They're
diabolical
like,
producer move.
Yeah, they're just like, well, welcome to the show and I'll see you later. I'm going to go on my hot date.
Yeah.
And you're like, so you're like, okay, did they just
into the wild, Blake?
Right. And I thought it was interesting to see Blake talk about being a wildlife advocate. And then like, you know, the difference between him on that date in the wild and Sensitive Greg, as I've come to call him. Sensitive Greg in the wild, who's like, yeah, I like to fish. And then he's like
what's a fishing rod?
Like, what? Yeah, what's a fishing rod? And you're like, I don't know. Guy seems like a liar to me. So Blake and her, I thought her date with him was actually like the perfect first date for someone who came late, because also they had like the cameras were like far away. Like they got kind of.
Well, that's the shots they showed. That's the shots they showed. They could have been closer cameras. You never know.
There could have been, but I just felt like they were like alone on these horses talking more than most dates get to be.
I think the horse date is usually a sign of good things. Like, oh, this person's really into that. Like, you think about who else has gotten horse dates. Like, just Tyler very famously had the horse date with Hannah.
Yes.
Horses usually foretell going far on the show for whatever reason. It's like very Princess Bride. I don't really know, but
that's a hilarious thing to know about the show. Like if someone didn't
Jared,
watch the
so
show,
embarrassing. It's like this gets back to like, should I watch The Bachelor? No, I don't want to talk about it.
You will know that horses mean true love, and that you will like the idea that someone could be watching their first episode and Juliet, you turn to them and you go, oh, it's a horse date. You know what that means.
Have you seen The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez and Matthew McConaughey?
Pieces. You have to remind me of what.
Well, it's honestly a phenomenal rom-com. So underrated. Okay. Pre-hair plugs McConaughey. It's just really interesting. Okay. He was a handsome fellow even then. He always has been. In that movie, she like does this really funny rant about how she can tell exactly how long a marriage is going to last based on the first dance song. And okay. I feel like I'm like J-Lo. I'm like, I can tell how far they're going to go based on what date they get.
You've seen so many Bachelor seasons that you're like, it's speaking to me. I mean, there's,
I see what's happening here.
That kind of happened with me and Sensitive Greg. Like, that's why I'm like looking at him in episode one going, too soon, dude. A lot of love bomb-y shit all going on here.
Let's talk about Greg. I've been super suspicious of Greg because I know that he took acting classes and nothing yells suspicion and wrong reasons more than taking Bush League acting classes in New York City.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've heard about the acting classes, but I don't look deeply into these things, but I don't really look that deep either,
but that's a huge red flag. I mean, I don't like actors flag. Or comedians, Jared. I'm going to be honest. I like you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, the big reveal.
Every time you come on the show, I have to insult you. It's like, pathological behavior. I'm so sorry. Yes.
And ask me about my personal life that I'm not ready to talk about yet. That's
off mic though. No one knows.
Sorry.
No one knows that I start by asking about your emotional vulnerability.
Yes.
This is I haven't spoken to you in weeks, but how are you doing today? Don't answer.
I'm doing okay. The other thing with Greg is I never trust the dude that's like, I'm an uncle as far as being like, that's how I know family. Like, I'm an uncle. I have nieces and nephews. It's like,
what that says is you're not ready for a relationship. You're not ready to be a father.
Yeah. You're good at being some dude who shows up once in a while when they, you know, don't need a nap, you know?
Not so yet. It's like, 90 minutes at a time and you're out. That's like, good job. Anyone could be a babysitter for 90 minutes.
And he keeps changing his voice. Every time he talks to her, he's like, like he's all like craggly. He's like a airline pilot. Like, you're gonna look over the left side. And then whenever he's with the guys, he's like, hey, how you guys doing? Like, it's like, what's going on here? Like, are you?
I think that might be a guy thing. Some guys do that. Some guys like
really.
I guess I don't know. I'm not a guy, so I'm not sure.
Also, last episode, he did a very big love bomb-y thing. He did the jokey "I love you" during the Pepper thing.
I hated that.
And then she goes, "Well, he said it," and it's like, "Yeah, that's a move, dude. You say it jokey, but you said it so you can be a guy who could say it hypothetically one day. It means it's on your mind." I didn't like any of that.
I didn't like it either. I didn't like that she was falling for it. It's like, don't throw that around. I hated that. I just was like, so upsetting. Anyway, but this week, Greg and Michael, I thought that their bond was really sweet. And so now I'm like rethinking Greg. I'm like, wow, him and Michael clearly have a friendship. And I thought that his tears meant something to me.
I think I agree with you. Special moment. I think the guys are getting along in a way that like I enjoy watching. I like when the guys get along, like, but they always seem to find one guy to like, you know, exit out of the house to like vilify, which they're doing again with Hunter. But I will say this. That moment was great, but I will say Michael A has captured my heart in a way that I didn't think was possible through a TV screen. And I think that's just more Michael A than it is Greg. Like to me,
Michael A is the obvious star of the season.
I mean, every word he says is just feels so authentic. He nails every interaction. Like the way he talks about things in the house with the guys, even with her. I need him to be the next Bachelor. Like I need it.
He reminds me of a Friends character. He reminds me of someone that like Phoebe would have dated or Monica would have dated. And the three guys would have been like obsessed with him. Like when Michael Rapaport was on the show, they wanted to go on the drive with him or whatever. I feel
totally.
Like Michael A is like a sitcom character of like the perfect boyfriend and like it doesn't work out for whatever reasons. He has to be the Bachelor. I totally agree.
He has to be. And it's like they kind of foreshadow this episode. It does feel like I think that's the most interesting part of the show is that like his story turns it on Katie. Like if you're like you have to be there for the like if you're a guy on the show, you have to be like willing to like go into maybe an engagement. But now because of his story, like it kind of flips it on Katie, where she has to be sure.
Are you ready to be a mom?
And are you ready to go meet a child that like has dealt with loss? Are you ready to meet this family that's dealt with so much to then like that's a lot of responsibility on her.
Totally. Also, he's clearly still in love with his wife, or I don't know if it's in love, but like still has really strong feelings about her and for her, which makes him even more lovable, right? Like even more sweet. You're just like, wow, her birthday was yesterday. You didn't say anything. Like, I think that would intimidate me if I were Katie. I would just be like, how could I possibly live up to that? Like, how could I fill those shoes? Are you ready to have a different woman be at the center of your life? Like, it's so much realer than anything else happening on the show. But that is also why it's so captivating, is because it's, it stands out in comparison to Carl or Thomas. You're just like, what are you guys even talking about? Who gives a shit? And you're like, this is a grown man who is like looking for love and has so much grief and seems like such a good guy. And you're just like, give us more. Like, we just want to hear more about it.
Sensitive Greg being like, all this guy does is smile around the house. Like, he's always like, he's like, and you can say, like, again, we don't know what it's like to go through what Michael A. has gone through, but we also don't know what it's like to live in a house without your phone, you know, in the middle of Albuquerque, New Mexico. So, we find these characters every season that become like the house leaders and like the guy that you can tell they all like. And like Michael A. seems to be that guy for this house. Like, even the way he talked about before he got into letting everyone know that his wife had passed, he goes, you know, he's like teaching them about love. Like, he was like, he's like, when you have the right person, like, it makes every day great. And they're all like leaning in. Like, they're all like, listening. I need, this is me putting my heart on the line. Michael A., I just want to just meet you.
I hope people need to come to Ohio, but I'd love to meet you anyway.
I'm a fan of his. And also you have like, I remember at first when you meet him, you go, who gave you advice to come here? Like, what person in your life was like, you know, like the worst person when you're single tells you, you gotta go on The Bachelor. Like, that's like the worst person. So like when he explained why he was on the show, I was like, oh, okay, that person doesn't exist. Like, you explained it perfectly. Like, I'm like, how did you like, I'm like, yes, he should be here.
Yeah.
He needs this.
Also, I feel like with someone like Michael A., and again, I'm not a parent. I've never lost anyone like that either. But I just feel like this is sort of like cannonballing into the pool of dating. It's like, even if it doesn't work out, it's like he's ripped the Band-Aid off so hard that maybe he has like a new scratch from where the Band-Aid was. And it's like, okay, so when he comes out of it, it's almost like he's been like baptized or gone into the mikvah and he's like ready. He's like ready to date again.
Well, more important than just dating, like, an experience, like get out of your hometown, the town that, you know, makes you, reminds you of everything. Like, I'm sure his family was like, get out of here. We'll take care of the kid. Like, go. And what's interesting about Michael A. is set against the backdrop of Hunter legitimately using his children. Hunter using his children. He weaponized child pictures to get the rose this episode. Like, Michael A. is the backdrop that like makes everything else look ridiculous.
Yeah.
So like Michael A. is the most, we're assuming, and we don't know going forward, but at this point, he's the honest beacon with which we have to like set all standards on. So now you have Hunter going in there being like, I got a good surprise tonight. Tonight's the night I make my move. And then he pulls out like trading card pictures of his kids to be like, yeah, I'm a that's Dad Hunter there. And you're like, ugh, like, I didn't really buy it. Did you?
No, of course not. Also, like, who the fuck is Hunter? Like, I'm not like, we know who he is, but like, what is his personality? Like, also, I don't think it's a plus for him to be like, yeah, that's Dad Hunter. I'm totally different when my kids are around. It's like,
not
maybe
at all.
Be Dad Hunter all the time if you are a dad. Or I just thought that was like really unappealing. But mainly what annoyed me was I was like, God, why does there have to be a heel in every episode? We don't need this. Like, from Carl to Thomas and now to Hunter, I'm just like, we don't need that. It's bizarre. Well,
Hunter's heel is more believable than any of the other, because to me, Hunter was like the nerd who tries too hard in gym class to prove to everyone that he can do sports.
And like, then he like went goth and like started like weightlifting.
Yeah, totally. Like, has an unnecessary tattoo that you didn't see coming.
Yeah.
Like I remember like a couple episodes, like zone in on his tattoo. I was like, wait a minute. I thought this was like Johnny Nice Guy. And then all of a sudden he's got like this huge sleeve. And then he's on this slam ball date tackling. He's like, yeah, I'm a competitive dude. It's like, yeah, everyone here is competitive. Look at everyone. They all have abs. Everyone's fucking, you know, trying to do something. Like it just, I don't like the whole Hunter thing. Like I thought the Carl thing was cartoonish. I thought the Thomas thing was like, okay, yeah, everyone here wants to be the Bachelor. Yeah. And in addition, like, I don't really understand how they could like keep this going with him, but I think they just didn't like him. This Hunter thing, he's a real heel to me. Like he is a,
I agree. The person who tackles in like the combat sport date is like, usually like, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing?
Douche. Yeah. But you're an asshole.
I'm sorry. We need to talk about everyone's apparel during the slam ball date.
Okay. So the singlet.
Yes, the singlet with a cup. Is that what was like a very obvious cup on everyone? Is that what's going on? Because I was like, this is insane.
With the singlet, I've never worn one before, but
okay.
Being a man with the parts that would go into a singlet.
Yes.
I would say a cup is necessary. So you need it because, first of all, it's not about showing off size. It's that you don't want to show off lumps.
Mm.
Like you don't want it. You would see in those red and blue or red and black,
sure,
whatever, the
very
outline
short,
of
very tight.
Very tight, but the outline of your genitalia, sure, would be pronounced. Like it would be so,
yes,
you and besides the point of this being a contact sport, like never mind that. You're just going, I need to round this out. I need to look like a Ken doll as opposed to a health class poster, because you would look like that.
Okay, thank you for explaining. Because at first I was like, "Whoa, Aaron!"
Sure.
And then I was like, "Oh wait, everyone gets a whoa right now." And then,
everyone gets a whoa, yeah,
yeah. And I was like, "Okay."
Well, they wear the same ones in Dodgeball, like the movie. Like they have that kind of cup look. You have to wear.
You know,
a cup,
Jared, I haven't watched that movie in quite some time. You might be watching Dodgeball. I'm watching The Wedding Planner.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're on two different timelines in Loki's universe.
Yeah.
I saw that with the cup and I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like.
So you were like, okay, that's a relief. I'm happy for them.
Oh my God. If I was there, I'd be like, where are the cups? I'd be like, I can't have the outline of my balls on ABC a Monday night. Like
my mom could see this.
Yeah. Like, and she's like the least of my worries. Like,
like, yeah, she's seen it before.
Yeah, like, I mean, my mom, like, fine, but like, you know, like everyone's like now, like they're comparing balls. I mean, like, have you watched the Netflix show Sex
Have
you
Life?
Have you gone to the episode that everyone's talking about?
I haven't. Everyone,
you gotta go. You gotta go.
Okay.
I know episode 3, 20 minutes in. Okay. 1950 is
no plans only, tonight, so I'm there.
I mean, you're gonna need to take a minute after this. I mean, it is. You got to see it because I only saw it because like Betches post about it. And I'm seeing it on Instagram. I'm seeing it on TikTok. And I was like, I'll go look, whatever. This is the largest penis I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is it a prosthetic? Is it like a Dirk Diggler situation?
No, people have looked it up and I guess it's a real deal penis. And
right.
I mean, this thing should tour the country. I mean, people need to see it.
Is it the main actor on the show?
No, it's like a guy. I've never watched the show, but the premise that you're falling into, if you get there at 19 minutes, it's like, it's the main guy like getting jealous of this other guy. And then they're in the shower and on top of being good looking and working out hard, he also turns and this anaconda just crushing. And like, you know, like, you know, like I've never really had, I watched it. I was like, whoa, good for him. Good
nice.
For him. You know, that's
nice.
The only reaction
okay.
you could have.
Right,
I think
cool.
it's a good test for anyone's like significant other. You're just like, what do you think of this? If they can't say good for him, then this guy might have a confidence issue. You gotta.
So that's how many weeks in until you pull that test out? Five, that's six?
Before the third date.
Before the third date.
You just gotta make sure. Can you handle this scene in good company at a party? Could you discuss
really
the scene
early
confidently?
On. I mean, a third date, that could be like, you know, week two.
I mean, listen, do you want to know you're with your someone who's, you know, okay with themselves or not, you know?
Wow. Okay. Well,
you gotta go look. It's crazy.
All right.
Yeah.
Do I text you after I watch it? Like,
please.
This is-
I mean, yeah. Why? Listen, I want to be involved in the conversation. Like,
you want to be a part of the discourse.
Yeah. I think it's so funny how like all these people are like, go to this part. Like, no one's even watching the show. Now it's like top 10 on Netflix. It's like the adult
version of when Devin Sawa's penis for like a second and now and then. Less than a second.
You can?
I don't think you actually can, because that would be child porn, because he was young. But like when I was like 13 or 14, it was like we rented Now and Then and like went to like when Devin Sawa and his like movie siblings are naked.
And you went specifically for that part. You rented it for that. The person at Blockbuster is like, these women love this movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, just to be clear, we were like 13 or 14.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
not a woman, a girl. But yes,
these girls.
Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, reiterate that. You're right.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. The slam ball date. You know, that's another reason why this was a good episode. The contact sports, they work. I don't need them to be naked contact sports, but this wasn't as egregious as the strip wrestling or strips dodgeball they had last season. For whatever reason, I didn't mind it as much.
My only issue with the slam ball is they make up a sport, okay? They just make up a game. Like, why not play a game that exists? Like,
why not play dodgeball?
Yeah, like something like that we know. And then they have a referee there, and the referee, like, what's he know? Like, there aren't national rules to this game.
Sensitive Greg took an L in my book, though. That he was ultimately a riser this week for me, but he took a real L when he was like so excited to be dunking the ball. And it's like, Greg, this is not a 10-foot rim. This is
the
rims have been lowered. It's like a kiddie pool. It's like, dude, not impressive.
It's a Nerf basket in one of your niece's rooms,
yes,
playrooms. Seriously. It's like, oh, you get to show off how you show off for your nephew. Like, I don't know.
Greg.
I know.
I think I need to net out on Greg sucks. I think, unfortunately, that's where we are. And I know we've got a lot of Greg ahead based on the teaser, but I think that Greg is just like average guy. And as a result, that sucks.
The issue I have with Greg isn't Greg himself. It's that people buy it. Mm-hmm. I'm watching this as a guy, like he's crying date one on a woman he just met. Like I just don't, it's hard for me to buy. So like I see maneuvers going on. That's the thing. And I'm like, and I see Katie, who we both like, and you, just like you said, you like, she bought it and she did, you know, she bought the, I love you at the pepper thing. And it's like, that's a move. He knows what he's doing.
I hate that move so much. It's a fuckboy move. Send him to FBoy Island.
Throw him out. The slam ball thing too, like I again, the Hunter move on that date, just like to be the aggressive person, like I just can't really deal with that type of person.
Yeah. Let's move on to the after party. There was one moment from the cocktail party of this date that must be addressed. I'm wondering if you caught it. It was Cat Guy, after he's playing the ukulele, it turned out that his shirt was completely open and I had to hold back some vomit. I was just like, Cat Guy, it's your time has ended here. Your watch is over. Move on.
Connor the cat, with like, he came out so strong and then just has like fallen down the hill of friend zone hill. Like he did
friend zone hill with a fucking ukulele. Get out of here, dude.
I mean, the minute you show up to a girl with a ukulele with a song you wrote for her is the minute, like, dude, you're grasping at straws. Like it's not gonna happen. I didn't notice his shirt because he also had a very open shirt when they had the confession date with Nick Viall.
He's like trying to be like Nashville Fabio with a ukulele and it's fucking not working. It is not, it is not my tempo. It is so rough. Cat Guy, he has to go.
You can also tell his kisses are not going well. You can tell because he goes, anytime you go, you're going to kiss me? Like he had to follow up the ukulele performance with a, you're going to kiss me. It's like, no, dude, there's no chemistry here. You don't got it. Like, are friends.
He had the kiss redo on night one, too. Remember? He's like, it's not good. Like, I hate Cat
and then Guy. And then the last kiss, the second kiss after the redo, he goes, that was a good kiss. Like, he's got to do a Yelp review after every kiss he does.
Oh, my God. That'd be really funny. Someone started Yelp reviewing all the kisses. That's a great idea.
Bachelorkisses.com.
It's like he's like looking for affirmation. He's like, that was a good kiss. Just he said it's like that she'll say it back.
Exactly.
And then she doesn't because it probably wasn't.
No, I don't. I mean,
Cat Guy. Ugh, I hate Cat Guy.
Connor the cat, I think he's a good house guy, bad for her. And it's going to, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to. It's just like he's just a nice guy. He reminds me of. And someone mentioned this to me the other day. And I was like, he feels like that guy, Evan.
Evan Bass?
Yeah. They have a very similar vibe. Same phylum of character.
I think Evan was from Nashville as well. Or area, some part of that region of the country. The thing about Cat Guy, in addition to the shirts being open and being a bad kisser, is just the music. It's just like, we get it, man. Stop playing music all the time. Maybe he feels uncomfortable like expressing himself any other way, but like then that's a deal breaker. It's just like, stop singing. I just find it so annoying.
Well, he also he's a teacher, but he also plays at some of the bars in Nashville, I heard.
Yes.
So like this might be, he's actually doing,
he's auditioning.
Auditioning. He's doing it in a better, it's smart to come on as a teacher who plays music. You don't want to come on as a musician who's also a teacher.
Right. Yeah. It's just, if I was a parent and my kid had Connor Cat Guy as a teacher, I would request to change classes. I would be able to move forward.
Cat say meow, 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 meow. Horse say nay. Like when he had that ukulele, I was like, are you teaching? What am I doing here?
It's so rough. So rough. Let's talk about Andrew S. Who doesn't love Andrew S, right?
Huge fan. I'm happy he left the accent thing behind.
Me too.
This episode.
We've moved on from the accent.
Thank God.
Crucial part of Andrew S. He was drinking a beer. The man was drinking a beer when everyone else was on the date. We don't see that a lot. He had a tall glass, looked like some kind of lager, if I do say so myself. And first of all, it read very European to me. He lives in Europe. So
very Austrian of him. Yes.
Yes. And two, I was like, this guy is real. He's drinking a beer. He doesn't give a shit about the calories. He's just like, fuck yeah, I want a beer right now.
Totally. After watching the reactions of men to the carbohydrates and the Twinkie last week, where they were like,
Twinkies.
How could I? But we don't even have a treadmill here in the house. You know, like,
it is refreshing. TRX planned afterwards. Yeah.
It is refreshing to see. Andrew just seems like totally genuine, totally cool. Like, I'm a huge fan of his. Like, his date was great. Like, I mean, it had fun. It was, I mean, whatever they're doing, I don't know what the fuck, you know, choosing letters from the sky, I guess I get it. But, like, as you know, they're dealing with the surroundings they have, but I like him. He's a likable good guy.
It was cute. I didn't really understand the date either, but whatever. It was fine. We His dancing was kind of cute, I guess. I liked him. But I mean, obviously, the most important part of their date was when he said, I'm a black man. And how would you feel about having mixed children? And I thought, you know, I thought I liked that Katie said that maybe she didn't understand some of the repercussions as a white woman of privilege, like that maybe she didn't understand why it was such an important question for Andrew or the fact that he needed to address it. I thought that was an appropriate response. But moreover, we did not see any of that in Matt's season. And that was like really frustrating. It was an opportunity, you know, it came up in the finale that like some of that stuff hadn't been discussed. So I thought it was just really refreshing and really exciting to see that conversation happen on television. I do think it's a little hard to just take these at face value with The Bachelor knowing how it's messed up. And it's like, okay, now we're seeing this conversation. So a piece of me is like, I hope that Andrew wasn't forced to ask that or forced to have that conversation on camera if he didn't want to. But I did think that he seems like an awesome guy who is realistic about dating and asking the types of questions that I'm sure he has to. And I love Andrew S.
It came from a real experience, which made it feel authentic, where he's like, totally. This has happened. So what do you have to say about this? I don't want to date someone who might have that fear, or maybe I need to know I like that he was like, I don't think that this person I dated is a bad person. I know their character. Like he even like, you know, spoke about the person in a way that like didn't vilify them. He was just like, listen, that's not who I'm with anymore. And I want to make sure that this is, you know, I'm not repeating the process. And even when Katie used the word naive, that was a refreshing word to use. She goes, I'm naive as a white woman. And it was like, okay, good. Like it all felt very authentic where
it felt authentic. It did feel like a course correction, which I think makes me a little bit cynical. Cause I'm just like, was this because of how they've messed up in the past? But you know, we talk about this a lot. When you mess up, you have to do better. And so this is the show doing better. And like, I hope it continues to be a trend of improved discourse about race and representation on the show. So I also just like moreover really hope that it was a conversation that Andrew was comfortable with and was happy was on television. So I think for, you know, like for a lot of the people who watch this show, those are things they've never had to consider. It's a lot of white women like me and Katie. And so, you know, it's not Andrew's responsibility. It's not any person's responsibility to like teach me like about how to handle race in America. But I think that was really valuable. And I just thought it was really cool. And like Andrew, from the moment he's been on the show, has had one of the best personalities. And I feel like he actually got a date where we got to see his personality, which was fun.
Well, Andrew also this is my first time on the show this season, but we didn't get to talk. Didn't you think his discussion with Trey was so interesting last week? Like the nature versus nurture of The Bachelor? Like we haven't talked about this. I thought that was so cool. They were like doing a podcast, like because like
life's a podcast now, Jared.
I guess so. But the conversation, because I'm sure you've had this on this show and I've had it in on podcasts that I do. That like the conversation of like, do you tell the person that there's a bad dude here or bad, you know, there's a bad egg. And Andrew taking the side of like, no, I'm here for her. And they both had such good points that I'd never really, Andrew's like, no, I'm here for her. She's an adult. She's a woman. She can find out on her own. And I trust her to do that. And then the other guy's like, or Trey is just sitting there be like, well, also, wouldn't you feel bad? You look back at this 10 weeks later and you didn't protect her. And I'm like, great points. Good discussion. Interesting discussion. Because, I mean, now we're seeing it play out, though. Like, Trey got the rose last week, but he didn't. And this is kind of something that happens again where Katie awards people for being bold, but not necessarily because they're her match.
Right.
And this
she's very much playing the game of being Bachelorette. Like that's very
absolutely
very clear. Like she, and I think that's one of the reasons the first few episodes kind of didn't really land for me, is because it just feels like we can see the strings being pulled and Katie is part of it. This week there was a lot less of that. And so I think it was just like a way better episode.
I mean, I totally agree, because even last week when it ended, I was like, listen, again, I'm pro Katie, but I, at the same time, your Bachelor audition is over. Like that was the most, like you could have said it's in the hotel room, most canned line. And there is an element of like Katie that exists where it's like, she does the conversation about consent. Great. Like I loved her perspective there. Loved how she responded to Andrew S. and interracial marriages. And then you see a moment like that where you go, is this, empowerment Katie, where she's like, I'm sending you home. And you're like, all right, come on. You can get it elsewhere. Katie, we know you can do this elsewhere naturally. We don't need you to do the, your bachelor audition is over, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. She just, it just felt like we were getting like more of her this week. And I thought she like just like seemed more comfortable on a lot of these dates. So maybe also takes a few weeks to like, to get into it. I thought at the final rose ceremony, she looked a lot like Audrina from The Hills. For something about her hairstyle. I always liked Audrina. So I'd say,
Audrina's cute.
Say that as a compliment. On the topic of Trey, I just don't care for him. I'm ready for him to go.
Really? Oh, I'm a Trey fan. I think he's like, I think he's like a house glue guy, but I think he gave up his opportunity to be a romantic partner and he, in exchange for being a friend. And that's what happens when you report the bad egg.
When you're the snitch, Katie,
Like when you're the snitch, like Katie, she was the same thing. So like, it's interesting that even this week, now at the group date, Hunter gets the rose and he seemed to get rewarded for bringing pictures of his kids. Like it didn't seem like they had a romantic, like you watch Hunter, like, doing death blows on people on the slam ball court, and you're like, you're not turned on by that. It's a turn off. Like,
yeah, you're
and
like, now, oh, this sounds great.
Yeah, like, good job, man. And you know, it just so it this seems to be a theme that like the roses don't even seem to matter yet.
Yeah, it's true that like she just is sort of like kind of coasting. She clearly has like the people she likes until she's giving out roses to other people in the interim. It seems like the Hunter stuff will continue next week because basically the episode ended with him cutting off Aaron. Like Aaron was trying to like give the toast and Hunter was like, no, that's my role, dude. It was really funny.
I mean, and you cut off the one guy, you cut off angry Aaron who never seems to have a good day in this house. He's just always annoyed.
And like I think Aaron's really hot. I'm not sure why.
Women love Aaron. I have been polling. So he's got some height. Hot. That guy, that's an elm tree, man. That guy's a big
Know why I love Aaron. He's just so hot.
I mean, he pulled off the singlet. Even when he had the singlet, I thought he was going to be more stocky than he was, and he's cut up. He's hot. Like, he's got to be 6'7", 6'5". I mean, he's a hunk of dude. Yeah.
It's like, that's guy. He's a tight end, you know? It's like, send him to the NFL.
Totally. He's got Rob Gronkowski body. Yeah.
Yes, but way more attractive than Gronk. I'm not a Gronk girl.
No, okay.
No, thank you. I do like him and Camille, though. Cute couple.
Camille came on our podcast. She was fantastic. She talked about how they met.
Really? How did they meet?
He slipped her his number at an event where she was a cheerleader for the Patriots.
Incredible.
Through Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh my God.
How crazy. If you know Jermaine Wiggins, you know, it's like a, if you know, you know, like former tight end for the Patriots. He was on their first Super Bowl team from East Boston. And you know, and so she tells the story. She's like, so Jermaine Wiggins, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, Jermaine Wiggins, this is a part of your love story? Like, that's crazy.
I just love a meet cute. What can I say? It's just great. I watched When Harry Met Sally last night and all I was
you're in.
I was just really, I mean, it's like one of my favorite movies. I was really paying attention to all of the old couples that are like telling their stories. And I was like, these are all just so sweet. I usually don't pay attention to those. I've seen When Harry Met Sally probably approximately 2,300 times. So.
And those old couples, they're like the type of New Yorkers that look like they grew from the cracks in the sidewalk. Yeah. Yeah. There's a New Yorker look that just looks like they grew from the ground of New York.
And yeah. I mean,
they kind of found those people for that movie.
I'm fourth gen New Yorker. And I'm just like, those are. Yeah.
Your people. That's that's like a hug, I would assume.
Exactly. See you in Bensonhurst. See you in Borough Park. So
sure.
I'm just like, I love those people. Anyway, that's a great story about Camille Kostek and Rob Gronkowski.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, it really is. But so who do you think is winning at this point? Sensitive Greg?
I mean, I'm looking at Blake right now. I mean, he's getting his own separate show, you know, so they're giving him all the opportunity.
Blake is the Bruce Willis of this television show.
He said the whole time. I got Blake. I mean, obviously Blake, Sensitive Greg and Andrew S are like, and I, this episode specifically, I was a big Michael A guy, but I don't know about him staying. I can't believe
Katie's
that he would
not
stay.
Ready. I don't think so. I don't know if Michael A is ready for it. I can't relate, but let's just make this man the Bachelor. The Jason Mesnick season was so good. This will be like Mesnick on steroids.
I mean, and they if Michael A is the Bachelor, the idea of like a woman coming on and being like, I'm Queen Victoria. How embarrassing would that be?
Right. They would have to cast that, way better women. Like, you would have to get like Molly Mulaney's and Melissa Rycroft's, and that would be great. Yeah.
You couldn't get people that were there for the goof. Like, no. How insulting would that? Yeah. How insulting is like to go on a widower's season to like get some followers? It's like no one could be that evil. So do you have any other people that you like see?
Well, I just want to say my one concern about Michael A as a bachelor is that we have another bachelorette season coming. So there's a whole another group of guys coming, right? I don't see Michael A going to paradise. And so I'm worried he's going to fade from the consciousness. Like, it's going to be too long. And so then he won't be able to be bachelor. But yeah, I mean, the top three are clearly Blake, Sensitive Greg, Andrew S. And then for a fourth, I don't really think there's a clear fourth right now.
Yeah, I mean, when you said in the beginning of this podcast, like, who the hell is Hunter? Like, he even said, he goes, I'm just falling for you. And I feel like I'm ready to introduce you to my kids. I was like, you've never spoken to, like, we haven't seen one moment with you
Hunter,
two. Like,
Hunter belongs in like a beer commercial or is like an extra playing a zombie in an apocalypse movie. Those are the two places I see him.
Yeah, I just see him. He looks like the type that would be at like a cheap resort in Mexico wearing sandals that have a beer opener in the bottom of them. Yeah, like, it 100%. Just, yeah.
He's like weird, just like a weird dude. We're going to wrap up, but I have to just mention one thing before we go.
Okay.
The game that Justin played with her. What was that? Like, thank you for your feedback or accepted. What was that?
Yeah, I didn't understand it. It seemed to have a rose element to it where it's like...
And the cards, did he draw those cards? Where did they come from?
Well, he's an artist, so...
That's true.
I want to see some more of his art. Like, I've had people DM me. They're like, he's an amazing artist. Like it's like a legit, you know, thing for this dude. But yeah, I didn't get the game. It just seemed like his opportunity to be like, do you like sex or not sex? Like
sex or
staying
music?
In.
I wanted to be like, I wanted to be like, can you listen to podcasts at least? Need some background noise.
Do you like getting in bed to the first, you know, no, I fucked that up. I was going to say the opening to The Office.
Or like, what about the soft sounds of Michael Barbaro on The Daily? Can we put that on in the background?
I love it. I didn't understand the game, but I think Justin's reactions alone are just why I need him on the show forever.
Yeah, Justin's great. I really like Justin. He's a cutie. Great episode. Great episode with you as well, Jared. Thank you so much for joining me. Where can we find you?
At Jared Fried on Instagram. I'm yelling at the show every Monday night live while it's happening. So during commercials, tune into my Instagram. I'm there screaming. I've added a new element to the live stream where I'm putting my face on inanimate objects and giving them backstories.
Sounds terrifying.
It's terrifying. I'm Tommy the cat. Katie has a cat named Tommy. I do constant Tommy the cat is popping into the live stream. So it's a lot of fun. I'm making a fool out of myself.
You're a wildlife advocate like Blake.
Yes, that's true.
I'll be back on Thursday with Callie. And thank you so much to Kaya McMullen for producing this episode. Have a great week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.